Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
The title of today's devotion is called Lice. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt, Exodus 8:17. Just about every kind of bird and mammal has its own brand of lice. For example, cats do not have the same type of lice as dogs, and neither of them has the same kind that live on pigeons. Sometimes certain lice are found only on one area of the body. The lice that live in the body and wing feathers of a bird are different from those that live on its head. Body lice must move rapidly to avoid the bills of birds when they preen their feathers. Since birds cannot reach the feathers on their head to preen them, the lice that live there are a very sluggish breed. Also, body lice are usually camouflaged to blend with the color of the bird's body, while those on the head can be any color. Swan, for example, have white body lice, but black head lice. Actually, there are two general types of lice: sucking lice that cause great discomfort to man and beast, and biting lice, such as those described above, which actually don't bother their host much and feed on feathers and hair. Hair and feathers are made up of very tough proteins called keratin. The biting louse, an insect that grows no larger than 1/3 of an inch in length, has the strong digestive fluids that are necessary to dissolve keratin. This is amazing when you consider that larger animals that eat mammals and birds are unable to digest the fur and feathers. Unless its host dies, the biting louse will spend its entire life on one bird or mammal. If the host dies, it will hitch a ride on an insect, such as a fly or mosquito that happens to land on that dead host. Our text says that a plague of lice invaded Egypt when Aaron held out his rod. Some scholars say it could have been gnats or mosquitoes, but if it was lice, it probably was the sucking kind that caused a lot of itching. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the illustrations of nature that's weaved throughout your Bible, but also that we can see with our own eyes as we go out in your nature, or as we can see in our pets. And I ask that we really stop and think about you today as we're walking along, as we're interacting with others, to see the analogy, the lessons that you would have us learn. And I pray that you're with this show, that our words will be your words. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. We call it arts and crafts, but really it's the point where our creativity can connect with knowledge and just give you ideas for doing it more and more. The more that you can have your children connect a creative way of learning the knowledge or inspiring their curiosity and then sharing with others, the more they learn. You've then the whole cycle of learning. Well, lice is pretty tricky because we don't really do too many crafty things with lice, but I did put in my Pinterest site, in my call letters are MRGamblin2. I put a educational video. I put a video of how to draw a lice, and then I put the life cycle of a lice. You will, as a homeschooler, might not ever experience lice. But if your child goes to church or mingles with any other family, there may be a time that they get lice. And a human's head lice has a lot of taboo about it. But this way, you can just talk about it and learn about it and recognize that, you know, it's just one of those things in life. I think I've escaped having head lice, but my daughter got it and she had long brown curly hair. It was so beautiful. And the thing of it is, a lot of times people with curly hair don't get or are not as susceptible to lice because of the higher sulfur content in the hair. The sulfur molecules is what makes it curl. Isn't that interesting? But she got a bad case of it, and we went home and we worked on her head, combing out those dead lice after we had shampooed, and oh, that was pretty traumatic. But I got to save some and make slides out of them and show them to the kids. Very interesting little creatures when you look at them under the microscope. Anyway, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we've been discussing different philosophies of, and there's about seven of them that you might fit into. So the other model is school at home. Now, this is a popular model because most of us were educated in a school. And so we want to create that traditional school at home. So we might set up a room that is our school room, and we might be, you know, we might think of some of the basic things that we did with, you know, as we were learning and going through school that we liked. You know, we'll have a schedule and we'll do a little bit of this at this time, and then we'll have recess at this time, and we'll do this at this time, and it's pretty well set out, just like if they were going to school, but it's in your home. The benefits are that it's something we're familiar with. It's understood. It might even have formal standards. You can always find standards for everything online. And there's a lot of prepackaged curriculum that can fit into the slots that you've put there. And you can make sure that your child is paralleling the local public or private school. And if they had to go back to school, they wouldn't have missed a step. Some of the drawbacks are that it can be expensive, especially if you are remodeling a room to make it into a schoolroom. And if you're wanting to get all of the things that we have in school, from dry erase boards, overhead projectors, computers, art supplies. So that could be a drawback. And then since it's school at home, it can also create some tension, because one of the wonderful things of homeschooling is you have flexibility. But now if you're very intent on making it just like your local school, you might end up with some of the same results: resistance to learning, burnout. School at home parent teachers often get burnt out because you're really doing more than one job. So that might not be for you. But in the meantime, just think about it. School at home is what we're discussing today. So if that's what you like to do, then you'll just say, we're doing school at home. Our homeschooling philosophy is school at home. Questions parents ask. Don't we all have questions at every stage of our lives? It's new to us. And this parent, Kayla's asking, do you think it's a good idea to pull my child out of public school, even though there's only about a quarter of the school year left? I think it's good any time. If the Holy Spirit is impressing you to pull your child out of public school, then pull them out of public school. I know, you know, I run this little homeschool school, private school with about 7 students in it. And those kinds of daycares, home for school-age children are cropping up all over the United States, wherever it's allowed. So if you homeschool your child, you can still send your child to a school-age child care facility throughout the day. Especially if you work like 1 or 2 days a week out of the home, you'll have some place to send your child. Or if you want to do that as a job. And so I've kind of veered off from the question at hand, but yes, pull your child out. I know that we accept children into our school from public school right up until the last 9 weeks. And then the last 9 weeks, it just throws us all off. So we'll say, we'll help you homeschool your child for the remainder of this school year, and then next year they can start with us. But we take them right up until that last 9 weeks. So yes, for sure, it's never too late, especially since you say you've already been homeschooling some of your other children. Let's see what other question we can fit in here. Here's a quick question. I like to give my 5-year-old boy more responsibility with chores. Currently, he makes his bed, puts clothes in the hamper, cleans his toys, throws away garbage. He clears his plate and puts it in the trash. What else would be appropriate? Well, starting at about that age, I created a chore can, and then every Friday we did a deep clean or a big set of chores. And I tried to break it down so that they could do it, like dusting and cleaning out. Oh, I even had them toilet brush, you know. That was a fun thing. So you could do something like that once a week was a bigger chore. But it sounds like you're doing a great job. We know that kids who do chores are more successful in life. They're more successful in school, more successful in life. So keep up the good work. Well, we've got to get on with the second half of our show today, which we're talking about early childhood care. But a lot of these principles could apply to any type of child care. So I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. A newborn infant doesn't have the ability to express their love for you, your spouse, siblings, or God. But that doesn't hinder you from loving that infant and having that special bond. God is not hindered either. As parents and caregivers, we partner with God in order for faith, trust, and love to develop in that infant. This relationship forms the foundation for later beliefs about God. Studies on the early experiences of infants and toddlers with the natural world have been positively linked with the development of imagination and the sense of wonder. This sense of wonder leads to an appreciation of creation and ultimately to an understanding of the nature of man and his relationship to God. It's through wonder and the imagination that the child becomes a lifelong learner. For more information about Like a Little Child, go to homeschoolcompanion.org or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. Let's take up where we left off yesterday. I'm talking with a professional here, and we have chosen to keep her name anonymous, so I'm calling you Susie for the sake of the conversation.
Okay.
And we've gone through the typical day of a preschooler or a toddler question. What about parent anxiety? You know, we talked about the child coming. How do you handle that child that just does not want to leave that parent?
A lot of the children we get into our room because they don't move up from the other rooms are really new to the school experience. And sometimes there are tears. And usually we speak with the parent when they visit about the best way to drop off their child. We always say, you know, spend a few minutes, get them acclimated. They probably won't get involved in anything because their main focus is going to be on keeping you here. So, you know, trust us that we can pull out a good book about starting school or mommies or something like that, and we'll sit down with them. And sometimes it actually means taking a crying child out of their mom's arms, which is a hard thing to do, but it's really the best thing for the child and the mother, just to put on a brave face and, you know, a big smile and say goodbye and I'll see you later. And then we just try to soothe the child and get them interested in other things. And after a few days, for the most part,
yes, has there ever been a situation where it just never got fine?
It never happened. You know, there have been long periods, sometimes 3-4 weeks, with some children who had a really hard time. And we just helped the mom. The mom needed the most help because generally she would leave a crying child, but within a half hour, everything would be fine. And we'd get through the day just fine.
So do you think it's an actual response to the mother or father's anxiety that the child goes such a long time with that?
At times. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's always the case. I think some children are just, tend to be a little clingier. But I do feel that the children who are really secure in the world, who have had all good experiences, believe mom when she says, this is going to be fun. And it might be hard to separate, but after a while they know that's going to be the case.
So part of the way that they acclimate is you redirect. Once the parent is out, then you're redirecting that child to something that is very engaging and very interesting.
We do. And, the other children usually just leave us alone for the first few days. But then they start making connections with the other kids. And especially the older ones will come over and try to help a younger child into
the
room.
That's pretty cool. So, now, you love working with parents. What are some of the other issues that you have dealt with and have helped parents through this time? Parents are very, they're very protective of their little children.
Well, of course, there's discipline. You know, sometimes they can't understand why it's working in school, but I can't make it happen
at
home.
Let's talk about discipline. Let's unpackage this a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we can sit down with them and tell them what we do and ask them what they do, and then explain our reasoning and try to get everyone on the same track. And sometimes that might mean that I need to make a little change in the classroom, too. They might have a tip that works with their child that is much better than what I'm doing. So we really, the communication
is
key.
It is, and if a parent and a teacher are a team, that child has such a great team behind them. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about discipline, and let's say a child comes in and they can't share. They just won't share, and it becomes a big, every time someone wants to play with them, they're so possessive of that toy. How do you handle that situation?
To begin with, I think it's really important to have a lot of materials available. And if everyone can, if you can have a small group of 3 or 4 boys playing with similar toys and they can work that out, that's great. I think that's important. But however, there are times when you just need to intercede. And what I usually do is tell them, you can have this for 10 minutes and then David's going to have it. So at that point, I'll give them a warning. I'll say, you have it for 1 more minute. And then when the time comes, I'll physically make it happen. And if they're very upset about it, we just need to follow through with it. That's what we've agreed to. That's what we've talked about. And if need be, I'll just take them aside and say, you can cry. I know you're upset. I understand you're upset. You really wanted that. But this is what has to be done right now. Yes. And just let them finish up.
Discipline is a big issue, and we know that there's no corporal discipline. What are some of the strategies that you can use in your center?
Mm-hmm. Mainly, it's just taking a little time out, and I don't mean a timeout chair. I mean just settling down. It might mean just going to the table and working on a puzzle by yourself for a few minutes. And then, of course, there's always talking about it and finding out what the child's really feeling. And so you can deal with those feelings because it might not be what you think at all. They might have other reasons for things, or they might tell you something that's happening in their life that has nothing to do with actually
sharing. So you don't use like a red light, green light, or a naughty face, or a happy face, or...
No, I really don't. I don't use any of that.
And you don't post the rules on the wall?
We do have the rules posted, and we go over them quite often, and they know what the rules are. What are our rules? The first one's to be nice to listen to your parents and your teachers, to the adults in the room and at home. Second one, I don't remember them exactly in order, is just to be kind to your friends, not to hurt them, and not to use hurtful words. To share, take turns, to take care of toys and books, make sure that we're not breaking them, that we're treating them gently. Safety rules of walking in the hallway, and also you know, not being respectful of the other classes, not yelling in the hallway.
So do you have little phrases like, you know, use your indoor voice or?
We do, but, you know, I usually try different ways around that. Rather than saying that, I'll just say we're going down the hall. We have to remember the other class. We need to be quiet for the other classes, or the little kids are asleep. So they're learning consideration rather than just a rule.
Yes, just a rote thing. That's excellent. So when you bring in parents then, and you're helping them to be able to manage their children, do you just share with them what you're doing in the classroom, or is there a step beyond that you go?
Well, sometimes we actually, you know, we'll sit down and list the behaviors that we're seeing and then come up with a plan.
And does that young child know that the adults are planning?
I don't think they do. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I don't tell them now whether the parents do or not. But we usually sit down and we talk about what we can do and how we can be consistent between home and school. And sometimes that means adjustments on my part, you know. And then we follow up on that plan and see how it's going. We usually say, "How about we sit down again in 2 weeks and see how things are going for you?" And then we try to tweak it. And usually we see some success.
Yes, I like the idea that behavior is as important as it is. It's not the end all. That the whole child is being thought about in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as diet, what can that parent expect as far as the food that's given to their children?
We serve all the food during the day. Unless the child has an allergy, they don't bring food from home. So our morning snack is always, well, not always, but we always have fresh fruit and milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have things like dry cereal, eggs, French toast. There, maybe once a week, we'll have something special like that. And then for afternoon, for our snack in the afternoon, they have juice. And we used to always have milk, but now we have juice once a day. And I think we water it down a little so it's not too sugary.
Yeah.
And then they have sometimes a salty snack, sometimes a sweet snack.
Now, is the snack after nap time?
After nap. And then our lunches, we have a hot lunch every day. It can be anything from tomato soup and sandwiches to you know, meatloaf and mashed potatoes and green beans. So, and we have usually canned fruit for dessert.
So a young parent, their child's just reaching the age of 2.5, will conclude the show with this advice. What advice can you give them as they're seeking out the best care for their children? What should they look at when they go to these different centers?
Look for happy children, relaxed children, not chaotic, but not quiet and very disciplined. Place where kids are having fun, a place that looks organized and that the teachers seem confident in what they're doing.
That's great advice. That's great advice. And unfortunately, there are so many children that will have to be placed this year into some type of daycare situation. And I know that I speak for all the parents when I say we want the very best. And we want to thank you for sharing what it should look like and what to expect. Thanks again for being with us. You know, I really would love to hear from you. I've made an email just for this show called myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. Don't hesitate to send me your questions or your comments, or if you'd like to be interviewed, myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.